Well, it was Boston's turn to dominate this one, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this wild ride. It's time to break the cycle. I'm going to talk about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show your first listen every day, Monday through Friday. Bonus podcast when the Celtics play a playoff game on the weekend. So whenever they play, you'll get a podcast from me. It's free. It's daily. Wherever you get your podcasts. And it's on YouTube. If you want to subscribe to the show on YouTube, I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. And I was one of the media voters for the 75th anniversary team. And I'm coming to you after a 102-82 win over the Miami Heat. Celtics dominate this thing from the jump. You want to know what the turning point in this game? The jump ball. That was the turning point in this game. Celtics just run away with this. I'll get into some of the individual performances later on. But let's just, I want to just get this out because I just finished writing this for Boston Sports Journal. This weirdness, I'm done with this weirdness of one team dominates and then the next game, they just flip. They just say, okay, here's your script. This was the script I had the other game. Yeah. Now you look like you've never played basketball before. Okay, no problem. I can do that. That's what we got in this game. The Celtics came out to an 18-1 run. Actually, neither team shot great in this one. Both teams shot less than 40%. Miami, 33% from three. In fact, 33% from three, 33% overall for Miami, 39% from three. The Celtics shot 23.5% from three, 39% overall. The difference in this game, really, the Celtics got 32 free throws. Miami got 8. So a 24 free throw point disparity, and the Celtics won this game by 20. I mean, that's basically what it is. But okay, let's start with that. Let's start with that real quick, because I know Miami Heat fans are going to be coming into this being like, I can't believe. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do my impression. I can't believe you got all those free throws. That's just ridiculous. The fix was in. Scott Foster came in and extended the series. Miami fouls a lot anyway. First of all, Miami fouls a lot. They are a very high foul team. They were late in this. They were just late defensively. A lot of these free throws were slaps down on the arm. A lot of these were just the buildup of actual penalty free throws. The Celtics got into the penalty, and all those little reaches and little shoves and little loose ball fouls became free throws. That's where that's what this is. This was a parade to the line. Because the Celtics actually did what they're supposed to do when you get into the penalty. And you keep forcing the issue. You take a team that's clearly not themselves, a team that's very clearly just having an off night. Like Miami, let's be real. Boston's defense was great, but Miami also had an off night. Like Boston's defense forced Miami into some tough spots. Miami also had a lot of makeable shots that could have gone down and changed the entire dynamic of this game. So there's like a little bit of each going on, right? Miami sucked. Boston was like the defense was really good. Derek White was really good to start. All of that led to the first quarter being what it was. However, The Celtics free throws were, first of all of them were legit free throw. All of the fouls were legit. There wasn't like there were some let a lot of things go, and Miami was just slow defensively. When you're slow to rotate, you reach in and you foul, and the Celtics got to the line 38 times, 38 free throws. That's not going to happen again. So I'll get more into the that's not going to happen again later on. I'll save that for the third segment. But first, I just want to express my desire for the Celtics to come out in game five like they came out here in game four. I want to see the Celtics put together two straight games of, oh my God, if we lose this game, we're screwed. Like, that's how important game five is. Game four was certainly important because Miami was up 2-1. And if you lose that, you go down 3-1. That's just very, very difficult to come back from, almost impossible to come back from. Now it's 2-2. But if Miami goes up 3-2, yeah, Boston just came back from a 3-2 deficit against the Milwaukee Bucks. But you don't want to have to do that, win two in a row. Just win your two in a row now. Just do it now. Go to Miami and don't go back to Miami until you're on vacation after the NBA Finals. That's the goal here. This weirdness, I compared it to a slap contest. If you've never seen it, it's on Boston Sports Journal. And in fact, I think the video of the slap contest is above the paywall break. So go to Boston Sports Journal and read. If you're not even subscribed, you can go and read half my story just to see the video that I posted of basically two dudes just standing there holding onto an arm wrestling table and just smacking each other. That's what the series has been. The Celtics came into this game and Miami just stood there. No defense, no, just stood there and let the Celtics smack the crap out of them. The Miami Heat did that to Boston in game three. Boston just stood there and they said, okay, go ahead, smack us. At some point, one of these teams has to come out and say, you know what? It's not your turn to smack us anymore. We're going to come in here and make this a game. Even if Miami comes out desperate in game five, the Celtics have to go out there and be like, you know what? We're actually going to put up some defense. We're not going to let you just come out and slap us. It'd be nice to not have to watch what we keep watching here, because what are we watching? Every game is, okay, today it's Miami Heat fans watching the whole game going, okay, well, this is terrible, but let's see. Maybe in the second quarter we can cut this thing down to 20, and then maybe in the third quarter you can cut it down to like 15 or 12, and then let's see what the fourth quarter brings. That's what the Celtics fans did, you know, in game three. That's what game three was. You sit there and you're like, okay, this is pretty terrible. Let's see if this lead can be cut down. And hey, the Celtics did cut down the lead, but they were just too horrible with the ball to overcome that lead. I'm done with this. I'm done with this crazy back and forth. You suck today. They suck tomorrow. Like, no, no, no. Celtics came out in this game, asserted themselves. Derek White was awesome at the beginning. Jason Tatum was awesome in the second quarter. That's all they needed. Miami was, you know, just completely discombobulated. No, Jimmy Butler was nowhere near himself. Bam Adebayo was nowhere near himself. Celtics defense had a lot to do with that, but also they just weren't themselves. Not having Tyler Hero was a factor, because I think Victor Oladipo, who had 18 points in the first half, but five in the second half, shot fairly well. He had a pretty decent game, was the best of the Heat there, but he's not a distributor like Tyler Hero is. And part of the reason why Bam Adebayo didn't have a great game was because he didn't have his, you know, we saw in game one, Tyler Hero comes out and runs pick and roll with Bam, and Bam gets going. That kind of helps. So the Celtics did the job defensively, but I'd like to see them do the job defensively more consistently moving forward. And I think I know the key reason, and I'll be talking about that key reason when I come up, when I come right back. First, let's talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. If you're looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA, you need to try the new award-winning app Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. Everybody I've talked to who uses Prize Picks loves it. It's easy to use. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. And the best part is it's you against the projected number. So whatever the number, it's not you against me. It's not you against this arena full of people. It's you against the numbers. And they can, the entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Prize Picks is safe, offers fast withdrawals. And you can use the app on the App Store or Google Play. And there are a variety of options. You know, any prop you can think of. Points scored, rebounds, steals, block shots, mixed sport entries, right? So you could select, you could have selected Derek White if you took the, what he finished with, 13. I don't know what the over-under would have been on his points. I didn't check, but I'm willing to bet it was under 13. So you could have taken the over on that, and maybe you could have taken, home runs hit by somebody, you know, on the Red Sox or something. Like, you have that option. And you can go to baseball, you know, when football is back, college and pro football, soccer, MMA, it's all there. For a limited time, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. You get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point, but you've got to use the code NBA. This is an exclusive offer available for Locked On fans. Sign up today. Use the code NBA. You get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point. And we're coming up on NBA draft time. After you make Locked On Celtics your first listen, make Locked On NBA Big Board your second listen. The NBA Big Board Draft, NBA Big Board podcast is hosted by Rafael Barlow, draft expert, just awesome at what he does. Very much worth your time. If you're interested in draft stuff, he has got you covered. I know the Celtics don't have a first round pick, but if you're interested in see how the Celtics competition is going to shake out, he's a great guy to follow. So check out Rafael Barlow and the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. It's kind of funny. A bunch of the Detroit Pistons were sitting over here in this game talking about the Celtics competition. Cade Cunningham, Beef Stew, Killian Hayes, they were here. Dwayne Casey was with them. So people made the joke. This is the only way they can get to the conference finals. Make your jokes now. I'll be honest with you. I think the Detroit Pistons would be a tough team for the Celtics to face moving forward. But good to see them at the game. That's kind of fun. They watched Robert Williams come back, play 18 minutes, which is awesome. 18 minutes for Robert Williams. He comes out of it. He says his knee feels fine. They'll check it tomorrow to see if there's swelling. We'll talk to Ime in the morning. Hopefully there's no significant swelling there and or any swelling at all, and he can go and he can play in game 5. It's very important that he plays in game 5, because I think what we saw in this game from Robert Williams, 12 points, but the 9 rebounds, 5 of them were offensive rebounds. He had how many block shots did he have? A few, as I call up the I got like 2 different box scores over here. 2 block shots. But, you know, I remember distinctly a Kyle Lowry drive where he just kind of drove and made, you know, tried to shake Robert Williams, and Rob was there and he just kind of like, nope, I'm going to go this way, and, you know, deterred Kyle Lowry from getting to the rim. That's the beauty of Robert Williams. And I think the big part is the offensive rebounds that I mentioned. Rob just kept possessions alive. Again, the Celtics didn't shoot well in this game. Less than 40%, 31 of 78. So the Celtics didn't shoot well, so they needed these second chance opportunities. Rob got the 5 offensive rebounds, kept possessions alive. He had 1 putback on a possession where he had 2 offensive rebounds, and I think Grant Williams had an offensive rebound. It was kind of a wild back and forth. But also, Rob as the outlet, the guy who, when Miami tries to stop the dribble penetration, he's there to put in, to be the lob option. Of his 4 baskets, 1 was the putback, 3 were alley-oops. And that's just an incredible option to have that can demoralize the Heat defense. You just need that there. And if you have Rob in game 5, when guys get into trouble, you know that he's there and he gives you some place to go. Again, I said this in the last podcast. if you're dribbling down, you're in trouble and you see guys coming at you, see a bunch of faces looking at you. And then above those faces, you just see like the top of Rob's head and you see the braids kind of like bouncing. You're like, oh, that's my guy. And you just kind of throw it up towards the dreads. And all of a sudden there goes Rob and you see face, torso, belt. You're like, oh man, this dude's going up and catching this stupid pass that I threw. And he's finishing the play. That's the importance of Robert Williams. Defensively, I think he's just so huge. Switching out onto guards, guarding the perimeter, Rob was important. Al Horford, let's give Al Horford some love. Al Horford only scored 5 points, but he had 13 rebounds, 3 assists. And he blocked, I think it was 4 shots in this game. Yeah, 4 shots. Al was a monster defensively. And the combination of Rob and Al is too much for Miami to overcome. So if Rob can stay healthy and if they can get Marcus Smart back, then I like the Celtics' chances in game 5, especially if they can come out with the right mentality. Now, as far as Marcus Smart goes, obviously he didn't play in this game tonight. We saw him standing on the sidelines over here in his sneakers, not in a walking boot, not in a air cast or anything like that. Just looked like he was standing in his sneakers. And now Ime said before the game, there was significant swelling. It was really swollen. So hopefully between tonight and tomorrow and, you know, pregame on Wednesday, there's enough of a reduction in the swelling that he can come out and play. But if not, then hey, Derek White has shown that he can come in and handle a job somewhat efficiently here. Well, no, I shouldn't say efficiently. His shooting wasn't exactly. He was 4 of 14, but he's 4 of 8 to start the game. He did a little bit of everything. Derek White comes in, floater, 3-pointer, layup. Alley-oop to Jason Tatum, some good defense, really filled in well. He was huge at the start of this game. But if you can get Al and Rob together defensively, that protects the paint so well, especially if Jimmy Butler is not himself, if it's the knee or if it's something else. Butler was just terrible in this game. You know, 3 of 14, 6 points, 7 rebounds. So, you know, in that whole thing I was talking about at the beginning of the series, like Tatum and Butler, it's Tatum and it's not close and all that stuff. Well, Tatum has a crappy game. Butler has a crappy game. They've each had some great games. So it's they're kind of matching each other in a way that I'm sure Miami fans don't want them to match each other. But if you can get Rob and Al in there protecting the paint the way that they're supposed to protect the paint, that just makes it very difficult for Jimmy Butler to get in there and do the things that he wants to do. Get to the rim, get to the free throw line. No free throws for Butler, just a complete lack of aggression in this game. He didn't want to put it on his knee, but if his knee is bothering him, then I think that might be a part of it. PJ Tucker, another guy dealing with injury. He did nothing, like 0 points in this game. Bam Adebayo, Celtics, again, Al Horford was great on Adebayo. Rob was good on Adebayo. The combination of those two guys makes it very difficult, and he's just not going to be able to get to the rim against those guys. 3 of 5, 5 shots for him. Max Strus did nothing, 0 of 7. Kyle Lowry, 1 of 6. That's, 18 combined points for the starting unit for the Miami Heat. Amazing performance there defensively. So the defense was good. The offense was so-so. What does this mean for game 5 as far as when I said at the beginning in the first segment, Miami missed a lot of shots. Where does that put them? For game 5, if you ran this back, where would this game go? I'll talk about that when I come back. First, let's talk to you about Rock Auto. Rock Auto, with all of these new makes and models, different kinds of cars that are out there, it's impossible for one of these chain stores in that strip mall to have everything that your car needs. You roll up in whatever make or model sedan. They're not going to have the 10 different things that, you know, the 10 different versions of whatever that car needs. Go to rockauto.com. They will help you save time. They will save money. You're going to waste your time going down and telling that clerk, hey, I want this, I want that, you know, putting all the information in, them saying, this is what we have, take it or leave it. Or they'll say, we can get it delivered. Well, you're going to get it delivered anyway through rockauto.com. I've had people tell me that they've gone to Rock Auto. They've saved a lot of money. This is not just me saying, you know, reading the script. They actually have used it and have said they save plenty of money. So it's a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They've got a really expansive catalog that really, it also features a ton of price points. So if you're on a budget or if you want like the best part that you can get, complicated, something in the engine, or simple like wipers or motor oil, it's all there at rockauto.com. When you go there, make sure you write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? It's not a promo code. You're not going to get an extra discount. You don't need an extra discount. Their prices are already reliably low. They just need to know that Locked On sent you. So write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? Like I said, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So I'm going to wrap this up by kind of bringing back the point I made before about that attitude of going into game five with the same level of desperation and not thinking like, oh, we just won, we're good, let's just go in there and just do what we did again and we're fine. No, that's not what they should do. Because when I look at this game, first of all, this is not a good game. Like, it's great that the Celtics won and it's great that they won by 20 and it's great that they were up by 30 plus at one point. And, you know, a few of these individual performances, you know, shout out to Peyton Pritchard for hitting some big shots and Tatum for having the 31 points on, you know, 8 of 16 shooting and going to the line 16 times. That's all great. But I look at Miami and I say, man, they missed so many makeable shots, so many makeable shots. And while I give the Celtics defense, obviously, the credit for speeding up the Heat and putting them in position where they were taking rushed shots or they didn't feel comfortable around the rim or they were in spots where they didn't feel comfortable, that's like give the Celtics defense full credit. But also, please be aware, just be aware that Miami also missed a ton of makeable shots. Like, there's certainly in this performance a make-miss element to this. And I'm begging the Celtics, begging them to understand the make-miss element of this, because you can't just go out and do what you did again and expect it to go the same way. Because that 18-1 run could have been 18-10. And if it was 18-10, great. Look, the Celtics are still up 8. But it's only an 8-point game, and there's confidence involved. There are different elements involved. There's, you know, if they're making a run, do the Celtics start pressing a little bit? Do they start getting into the, I want to answer this a little bit? Do they get rattled by some of the foul calls that they're not getting, or some of the foul calls that maybe Miami would have been getting? Whatever it is, the entire dynamic of the series could have changed if the Heat had made some shots, layups that they missed, just point blank missed layups. That has to be considered in all of this, because the Heat are going to make those shots in game five. Like, they're not going to go two games in a row just flat out missing those kinds of shots. The Celtics need to come out in game five with that sense of urgency, that cliche sense of urgency. But like, what that means is understanding that if you're kind of like loose, you're gonna watch a 16-6 run be put up on you, and Ime's calling a timeout, yelling at you in the first quarter. Like, the goal should be to never have Ime yell at you, because I'm sure that sucks. I wouldn't want that to happen to me. So, sense of urgency means understand, like, hey, stay focused. Don't be rushed. Don't be nervous. Urgency just means right away. I'm playing this first minute of the first quarter as if it's the final minute of the fourth quarter. I'm playing with that level of focus, that level of energy, that level of execution. I am aware. I'm keeping that throughout the entire game. Play the defense that you want to play. And most importantly, protect the ball. The Celtics, 9 turnovers, down from 23 in the last game. 9 turnovers. Don't let Miami get out into transition. They want to run in transition. If you let them do that, they're going to dunk all over you. And that's when somebody like Bam Adebayo gets going. Bam only has 5 shots in this game. Why? Because he's not out there running and finishing alley-oops all over the place. Okay, you get a couple here and there, but not like to the level of building that momentum. Don't let them get happy. Don't let them get loose. Don't let them start to say, okay, hey, I love this dunking, man. This is great. I'm out here running and dunking. I'm going to do this in the half court too. No. Miami is a bad half court basketball offense. They're bad at half court offense. The Celtics are phenomenal at half court defense. So you want those strengths. You want to put your strength up against their weakness. It's the Celtics that should be running off of turnovers and getting transition points, because the Celtics have a great defense and Miami's half court offense is not good. Protect the ball. How many times have I said this on the podcast? I'm looking around at this empty arena as if it's full of people that are going to give me confirmation. But if they were here, if I fill this arena with lockdown Celtics fans, I might fill a couple of sections. But they would tell me, John, you keep saying protect the ball. Yeah, protect the ball. Protect the ball, and that's going to be the first step. Go out there with that understanding, urgency. I'm playing the first minute of the first quarter like it's the last minute of the fourth quarter, which means when somebody steps up, I'm giving the ball up. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown did not have a good game in this. 5 of 20 shooting, 12 points. Playing a little too much 1-on-2, 1-on-3. Give the ball up. You'll have plenty of time to make your plays. Give the ball up. You will get it back. You're Jaylen Brown. You're Jason Tatum. Give the ball up. You will get it back. Play with that sense of urgency. Somebody steps up. Boom. Make that play. Tatum had one play in the third quarter where he was trying to do too much. Tatum was trying to do too much. Gives it up to Rob, I think, up top. And I forget who the defender was, but basically was like almost turned to a point where he could have said, please, Tatum, backdoor cut me. And Tatum made the backdoor cut and he got the pass over the top. Perfect. Do that stuff. Like, you just shouldn't have that big invitation waiting for you to make the backdoor cut. There's plenty of opportunities to cut. I'm back on my cutting grind. You know, go back and cut. Make your backdoor cuts. But play with that urgency. Miami is not going to play this bad in game 5. And again, Celtics defense, huge part of why Miami shot poorly. Huge part of why Miami wasn't comfortable on offense. But please, please, please understand how many makeable shots they missed. And if they make those shots, how different this game would have been. Celtics probably still would have won because they played great in general. But you just don't want to have – you don't want to give them that life. Don't want to give them that life. So we'll see what happens as they head into game 5. That's going to be I believe that the Celtics can do this. Now, I did have my faith shaken in after game 3. And I don't know where I stand on that as far because I don't this series is just so damn weird. I don't know who's going to come out in game 5. I don't know maybe game 5 is finally where both teams show up and this becomes a just knockdown, drag out, actual good game where both teams are throwing haymakers. And finally, we get a 102-101 final. What we don't want is this to follow the blueprint of the last series where the Celtics have a lead and they blow it in the fourth quarter. This has been eerily similar to the Bucks series, especially when it comes to Tatum. Tatum had a game three in both of these series where he scored 10 points on 21% shooting, 21 and change shooting. And then each time he's followed it up with a 30-point game, 31 in this one. Like, the numbers are eerily similar. So I'd like for Tatum to have a nice game in game five, and I'd like the Celtics to actually build up their fourth quarter lead just like they did, 14 points in the fourth quarter, but hold it this time. Can we break that? Can we break that streak? Game five to me is all about like breaking these cycles. Break the cycle, Celtics. Break the cycle of the last series. Break the cycle of these stupid starts, this weird, dumb series. Break the cycle. I want you to get into the cycle of listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast on a daily basis. Make it your first listen every single day. You can download the show wherever podcasts exist, however you want to listen to, Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, whatever other thing you want to get it on. It's there. Or you want to watch the show? Watch the show on YouTube. Check me out here at the TD Garden at 2:30 in the morning. Why not? That's what I'm here for. So watch, listen, however you want to do it. Subscribe if you are a listener, a watcher. Please share the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.